paying private companies, not state government, to drive Ohio's turnpike. On Monday, June 12th, this is 90.3 at 9. I'm Cindy Deutschman Ruiz. Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Blackwell announced recently that he wants to raise state revenue by leasing out the turnpike. How much money it would raise and how the change would affect motorists are two key questions. Today, a spokesman from Blackwell's campaign joins us to offer some answers. He'll explain how the plan would work and the impact it could have. Also on the program, a journalist who specializes in toll road issues, a vocal opponent of roadway privatization plans in Indiana, and you. So keep your eyes on the road. The on-ramp to our conversation is just ahead, after the news. Minutes past 9. You're listening to 90.3. I'm Cindy Deutschman Ruiz. Today's Monday, June 12th. Thanks for joining us. It's a busy place, the Ohio Turnpike. Half a century ago, when it first opened, 10 million cars and trucks drove it. In 2004, more than five times that many vehicles traveled it. Right now, of course, the turnpike is a public endeavor, but that could change. Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Blackwell announced recently that if he becomes governor, he'd like to lease out the Ohio Turnpike as a way to raise state revenue. We're talking today about what happens when roadways move from public to private hands. With me in studio is Gary Sua Dulnick, Executive Director of the Ohio Turnpike Commission. You know, I had it right just before we went on air. Anyway, thanks for coming in this morning, Gary. Appreciate it. On the phone from Columbus is Gene Pierce. He's campaign spokesman for Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Blackwell. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Gary.
And on the phone with us from Frederick, Maryland, is Peter Samuel. He's editor of Toll Roads News, an online newsletter about toll roads, turnpikes, toll bridges, and road pricing. Good morning.
Good morning.
As always, your thoughts are welcome. What do you think is, who do you think is better equipped to manage the turnpike, the state or private enterprise? And what are the key issues either need to address? Maintenance, fees, safety? Give us a call, 216-578-0903, or toll-free 866-578-0903, or email news at wcpn.org. Gene Pierce, what is the evidence that there is interest out there to spend the kind of money on the Ohio Turnpike that you're looking to raise?
Well, it's a growing trend around the country. It started with the city of Chicago leasing its Skyway a couple of years ago, and now the state of Indiana has leased its turnpike, and now other states are looking at it as well. So those are lease arrangements that have generated upwards of $1 billion for their smaller turnpikes, and we believe that leasing with an aggressive negotiation posture that we can lease the Ohio Turnpike for somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 to $6 billion, using the parallel extrapolating the numbers that Indiana and Illinois have received for leasing their turnpikes.
Okay. Gary, it seems like an underlying assumption to this is that somehow the private enterprise is going to be substantially more efficient than a public enterprise. Otherwise, the need would be to obviously raise rates a lot to kind of offset the fact of the price tag. So I'm wondering what kinds of barriers you see right now to efficiency and effectiveness on the turnpike.
Well, first of all, I don't think we're that inefficient. If you compare, the Illinois auditor did a study of various toll roads around, and we came out very well in that study. As a matter of fact, the foreign company, the Australian-Spanish firm that's leasing the Chicago Skyway and is going to lease the Indiana Toll Road, they've said in some of their releases that, I can quote it right here, MIG foresees little scope to cut the road's operating costs. This is talking about Indiana. It will benefit from a 70% increase in tolls in April. Whoever takes over the road, if it is privatized, is going to do the same three things that we're doing. They're going to collect tolls, they're going to maintain the road, and they're going to provide services. The services that we provide, food and fuel, those are already privatized. Major national retailers are doing those kinds of things. In terms of maintaining the road, I don't know of any of our customers who have said, don't maintain it the way you do, don't plow it in the wintertime, so that's going to have to continue. Mm-hmm. And you get to the third area of tolls. And they're still going to have to collect tolls, and I guess I don't understand why we should be a revenue source for someone else. I mean, whoever takes it over is going to have to finance this deal.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to make a profit. That's not a dirty word in my mind, but they're going to have to make a profit. So if it's such a wonderful idea, why don't we just raise the tolls? I mean, if this is the Blackwell idea, just raise the tolls and say the Turnpike has to subsidize the state in some other way. I don't think it's a good idea that travelers should be subsidizing the state, but if that's the idea, why put a middleman in there?
216-578-0903. Gene?
Well, let me say, first off, we're not criticizing the effectiveness and the efficiency of the Turnpike at this point. But what we see is that it's a public asset owned by the taxpayers and users of Ohio. And the greatest need that we can devote any public asset to is job creation and rebuilding our state. And so we're looking at the toll road as a way to generate an injection of capital that we can use for economic development, rebuilding our communities, rebuilding our inner cities, that we can receive that money now and give that money back to the citizens of Ohio through our economic development program. So okay. We're not looking at this as an efficiency issue so much as we are looking at this as the opportunity for us. Say we were, it's like owning a home, and you lease it out, you rent it to tenants. What we look at this is the opportunity to now, this year, or in the next 5 years, to receive the cash value, the financial value of all the leases that we could sign for the next 50 to 75 to 99 years, whatever the term of the lease is that we negotiate, to receive the cash value of that now up front, with the guarantee that if the tenants goof up, if just like leasing a home, if they violate the terms of that contract, that we get the Turnpike back, the lease is ended, and we can start the negotiation process over again. So we look at this as an economic development program more than anything else, because as anyone, everyone who knows in northeastern Ohio and across the state, we need jobs. We need good jobs. We've got to rebuild our economy.
Well, why do you want to disadvantage northern Ohio? The customer on the Turnpike today already is triple charged. They pay a toll, they pay fuel taxes when they drive their vehicle across, and those fuel taxes go to other parts of the state. They don't benefit the toll road. We don't get the fuel tax monies. Folks pay higher driver's license fees and license plate fees in the last couple of years to fund the Highway Patrol, but the Turnpike tolls pay for the Highway Patrol that service the Turnpike. Now you want to have these tolls raised to take these economic development funds and spread them across the whole state. Why should the Turnpike customer be a revenue source? Why disadvantage northern Ohio? And if it's such a good idea, let's toll all the interstates in Ohio and then have lots of money.
Well, in the first place, we're not talking about raising the tolls. The whole lease agreement would be something that is subject to negotiation, and we don't envision something that you're describing, Gary, as gouging the public. This is not the way we want to run that those lease negotiations. And the second point is that under our plan, we have a special segment of those funds that would be devoted to economic development in the Turnpike Corridor, a 30-to-50-mile section of northern Ohio, because we recognize that people who live around the Turnpike use the Turnpike more than people who live in Columbus or Cincinnati. So we want to devote a significant portion of those revenues to helping that corridor where the people who use it most and pay the most.
Peter Samuel, I wanted to bring you into the conversation and ask you, the going private trend is very much in place across the country, but it's happening in a variety of different ways, and I wondered if you can talk a little bit about the different ways that it's happening, different ways that private companies are coming to own portions of or lease portions of or work portions of public roads.
Well, the Skyway and the Indiana Toll Road are both going to long-term leases, so it seems. And those leases provide a whole heap of protections for the public and enable the facility to still serve the public interest, in my opinion, while having the opportunity for being more productive and being better managed. So those are the two that are pretty clear models we have. There's also private investment in new roads, in building new roads. We've seen the Dulles Greenway in this Washington, D.C. area where I live, built about 11 years ago by private investors and run under a toll concession. It's recently been taken over by the Macquarie Group that's active in the Midwest there. Macquarie's also active in the San Diego area where they're building a toll road. They took over at the stage that the project was developed by Parsons Brinckerhoff, the big New York engineering firm. They took that over and actually financed the construction of this toll road called the South Bay Expressway in the eastern part of the San Diego area. And there's a lot going on in Texas, too, and the smaller projects in the south, in Alabama. There's a lot of interest in the Carolinas and in Colorado, mostly in new toll roads. But there's also interest in privatizing or leasing existing public toll roads in Pennsylvania and in the Houston area, Houston, Texas, which has a system about twice as big as the Ohio Turnpike in terms of revenue and traffic. That's a very big urban system. So there's a lot of interest around the country, and of course internationally it's much bigger still.
Right. Interest, certainly. How much experience is there? In other words, if you lease an entire toll road, as is the proposal here, do we have any examples anywhere around the country years down the road, or to determine whether fees and tolls and so on just started to go up, or whether they stayed the same, or what happened in general?
Well, that depends on the terms of the concession that you draw up. The state has it in their hands to dictate whether they apply a ceiling rate and how they do that. In Toronto, Canada, there are no direct controls on the 407 toll road concession. In M6, in Birmingham, England, there are no controls because there they think that the competing roads provide sufficient competition, just like you don't have controls over Safeway because competition can keep them in check. But in other cases, and this is more normal, there are controls put in place because it's recognized there's a kind of monopoly element to ownership of that business, mm-hmm. and that a formula is needed, usually related to the rate of inflation.
But Peter, haven't we seen a large increase in the Chicago Skyway, and there are large toll increases planned for the Indiana Toll Road as well?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. They're kind of large one-off increases. And after that, they go along with inflation in those cases. But, you know, that's in the hands of the state, how they manage that. If they don't want to have those, they put in place those large increases because the tolls were really rather low, especially on the Indiana Toll Road. But they were pretty low, too, given the cost of the Skyway, which is really a bridge.
But that's why I interjected earlier. I mean, I really believe, I don't think anyone can honestly believe that if the Turnpike, the Ohio Turnpike, is leased, the tolls are going to stay where they are. They're going to rise. Our toll rates now are between 2 and 3 times the original rate of 1955. And over that same 50-year period, consumer price index is up about 700%. So
right,
our toll rates,
in real terms, it's declined. And, you know, that's in the, if you want to have market rates, you can have market rates. You have that in the concession. Then you'll get very big fees. You'll get somewhat less concession fees being bid if you have an inflation control, a cap built in that keeps the tolls down.
Well, I don't happen to think this is good,
Gary,
public policy, but whether it is or not, I want to assure folks that tolls will go up if it's leased.
Well, Gene, I want to take this back to Gene, because you talked about that you don't envision tolls going up, and I want to try and understand how you're putting this together mathematically, because you've got a concessioner who's paying, let's say, $4 to $6 billion for the rights to manage the toll road. And if the existing situation is not inefficient or ineffective, as you've said it's not, then the new leaser then is not, you know, they can't make up the money through additional efficiencies. So how are they going to make up all those billions of dollars apart from raising tolls?
Well, what I said was that it's not a question of inefficiency or effectiveness as far as what the Turnpike is doing now. What I said was what triggered our interest is the need to rebuild Ohio's economy and to create more jobs and to give northeastern Ohio, northern Ohio, an economic stimulus to get our communities back on their feet. So there are, I believe, there are some inefficiencies and some improvements we can make to the operations. But those are things that will develop over time and after public discourse. And again, I go back to what I said initially, that the terms of the lease agreement will depend on the terms of the concession. As Peter has said, it's what we negotiate, what the state negotiates with the private bidders. And one other thing I'd like to add, the interest in this has been increasing, so that with the Skyway's $1+ billion fee, lease fee, and then I think the Indiana toll road lease numbers were $3.85 billion. We believe that an increase is occurring in the domestic market for this. That we will see more bidders, which should be able to drive the lease price up, as we have a turnpike that is longer than Indiana's, and we have more private sector investors willing to get into the game. We think it can generate on the upside of $4 to $6 billion.
Well, I think that there's a misconception there. The Chicago Skyway, I mean, that's a unique, that's a monopoly road. The Indiana Toll Road doesn't have as many competing parallel routes. The Turnpike, as you know, has some competing parallel routes, and so that will have some impact on the price.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to need to go to a break. 216-578-0903, and we will go to phones as soon as we come back. You're listening to 90.3 at 9. The topic is our turnpike and the possibility it might be leased to private enterprise. Would you buy the rights to operate a turnpike, assuming you had a few billion dollars lying around? Does it seem like a good investment? And as a traveler, what concerns would you have, if any? 216-578-0903 or toll-free 866-578-0903, or you can email news at wcpn.org. Gary Suodolnik is executive director of the Ohio Turnpike Commission. Gene Pierce is a campaign spokesman for Republican gubernatorial candidate Ken Blackwell. And Peter Samuel is editor of Toll Roads News. Let's go straight to the phones. We've had some people waiting to mentor first, where Paul is on the line. Good morning, Paul. Hello, Paul. Did we lose Paul? Paul, we lost. Okay. Let's try then to Cleveland Heights, where Doug is on the line. Good morning, Doug.
This is Doug.
Yes. Hi, Doug.
My question is, the only thing I can think of in terms of if you're...
What happened to Doug? We lost Doug, too. Okay. Well, listen, let's try one last call before we go back to the conversation and see if that works. Chesterland, where Skip is on the line. Good morning, Skip.
Good morning.
Hi. Hopefully you'll stay with us.
I think I will. I'll
okay,
try my
good.
Best.
Excellent.
So, I think this is a terrible idea, privatization. You have to think of what the purpose of our highways are. These are for the public good. These are not to promote business. Whenever you get business involved, business wants to make a profit. And profit is not for the public good. I've recently come back from Chicago. I go to Chicago on business on a regular basis. I think that their toll cost and structure is horrendous. But then Chicago has always been known for corruption and greed and all those kinds of things. And so I guess that fits with the culture there. But I would hate to see Ohio turn their public highways, which are supposed to be for the public good and enabling the public good, into a private organization, which wants to make profit.
Right. Thanks for that call, Skip. Gene Pierce, I wanted to ask you, the discussion of the agreement that would be written up. I mean, we've come back to that a number of times as we've been talking, and you've said, well, you know, there are all kinds of things that the state can write into that agreement or work through in terms of that agreement. What are some of the things that the state would want to write into an agreement with somebody who would lease the turnpike?
Well, obviously, the terms of the maintenance, the terms of the tolls, those are all things that that are important to consider, and it's not like we're going to be neglecting that. And to respond to the caller from Chesterland's point of view, I mean, we are doing this for the public good. These are funds that will go back into communities and create multiplier effects as we create new jobs, as we rebuild our communities. So it is coming back to the public good. So it's not just going off into the private sector. We're not selling the turnpike. We are leasing it under very strict terms, and we're going to monitor it very carefully. So it's not like we're just going to give it away and ignore it. I mean, it is a public asset. It will remain a public asset, and the proceeds from the lease of that public asset will go back into the communities to help Ohio rebuild its economy.
Gary Sadolnik, I want to ask you about what the turnpike is going to need in terms of investment over the next decades. I mean, it's 50 years old.
It is. Well, the turnpike has done a good job of taking care of the turnpike, by the way, but we believe we'll have to replace the entire base. The original two lanes of the turnpike was open for business in 1955, so we are now starting our 51st year of operation. We still have the original concrete under the original two lanes of the turnpike. So we believe all of that will have to be replaced over the next couple of years. As I was in the legislature for a number of years, I traveled to and from Columbus. 71 was built, is much younger than the turnpike, and as it's being widened to three lanes, they're replacing the base of the original two lanes. So we think we're probably on borrowed time. We've done an excellent job of maintaining it, keeping the water out of it, but that'll be a cost of probably $500 or $600 billion to replace those two lanes. And then we would suppose, if it was a 99-year lease, I would suppose that sometime during the time of that lease, those two lanes would be replaced again, along with the third lane, about every 50 years. And so probably near the end of that, if it was a 99-year lease, all of that would be done twice again. So we see lots of expenses, but immediately in the not-too-distant future, that concrete base is going to – and again, the fact that it has lasted so long, I think, is a testament to the good work. We don't get any federal funds to replace it, so whether we maintain it or whether we fix it, it comes out of those tolls.
Okay. Let's go to Tremont now, where Ken is on the line. Good morning, Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hi. I was wondering, well, two things. How does one get to be director of the Turnpike?
Gary, okay. I guess that's for you.
it's similar to the structure of a school board. We have a five-member commission. Four members are appointed by the governor. One member is the director of ODOT. By state statute, no more than two of the same political party. All of them now are Taft appointees. The Turnpike Commission hires an executive director just like a school board hires a superintendent.
So you were appointed by the Turnpike Commission?
That's correct.
Okay. Second question pertains to creating jobs. And I'm wondering, if the Turnpike is doing everything as it should right now, what are you going to hire people to do? You know, stand on the side and wave to people? I mean, what else needs to be done if you're already doing everything right?
Gene Pierce, are you there?
Yes. I'm not sure I understand. I think that might be a question better for Gary.
Well,
yeah, we're not planning to hire anyone else. I'm not in favor of the lease, but if, in terms of the debate, we think that we have the right number of people to collect the tolls, the right number of people to plow the roads, so we're not... But
how is it going to create any jobs?
And that's why
I'm not advocating.
That's why I said send it to Gene.
What you can do through a good privatization is to improve the return on the investment for the taxpayers and get that up front in that big concession fee, and then use that productively. Use it to reduce the state's debt and its interest. At the moment, my main criticism of the turnpike would be that it only gets a profit, and although Mr. Sadonik says that profit is not a dirty word, the word profit does not appear in their annual report. But if you look at the annual report, it seems to indicate a profit of about $30 million a year, which is a return of only about 2% on the assets of the turnpike, which is a horribly low rate of return for taxpayers, and it's a lower rate than the rate of interest that's being paid on loans. So it's just a very bad deal at the moment, the way it's being
But Ken is, wait a second. Wait. Okay. Ken wanted to know about how it creates jobs. And Gene, that is part of the argument for privatization. So please explain how it would create jobs.
The jobs that we're talking about are jobs that would be created in research and development for clean coal, or research and development for biofuels, or economic development programs to help companies relocate and expand in Ohio. So those are private sector jobs, not turnpike jobs. We don't want to create a bureaucracy. In fact, we want to create a private sector approach to creating jobs, where it's not the money that we want to generate to reinvest would be handled by private banking and lending institutions, so that they bring a private sector point of view to job creation. So if a company wants to create a job in Berea or Conneaut, they want to bring a factory or an R&D facility into those communities, the money that we would lend out, we expect to be repaid back into the fund, and that any profits that the company makes are paid back, not any profits, but we don't want to minimize or to lose the value of the corpus of the trust. We want to keep, if we sell it for $5 billion, we want to keep $5 billion in that trust fund, so that in 2030, we still have money that we can reinvest into communities and create new jobs, private sector jobs, good-paying jobs, to keep rebuilding our economy.
Gene, I wonder if you can talk about what does happen to the employees of the Turnpike if the Turnpike is privatized.
I don't know. I don't have any answers for that. That would be something that would be subject to negotiation as part of the bidding process.
Okay. We're going to bring on...
I can speak a little for the Chicago Skyway. They were offered similar positions in Chicago, although the Skyway was a very small little entity compared to the size of the city of Chicago. In case of Indiana, they don't have a union, so they're out. Some are being retained, some are being out. I've talked to the former executive director who's out, and I think I always feel a little on the defensive about saying this. I have plenty of years of service in the public sector, 37 years of service credit, so I'm not worried about a job, and I'm not worried about my next meal. I just happen to think this is bad public policy, so I don't oppose this for any selfish reasons.
I want to bring on Dave Menzer now. He's campaign organizer for Indiana Citizens Action Coalition, which has filed suit to block privatization of the Indiana Toll Road. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Dave, can you talk about what your specific concerns are about what would happen if Indiana's toll road would be privatized?
Well, I think that in the big picture here, we're very concerned about seeing the nation's freeway system turned into a piecemeal tollway system. We know that the general public, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Greens, have all contributed to our litigation effort here in state. They don't think it's a good idea to privatize the nation's freeways. We see it as it's a short-term fix that many states are looking at with budget woes. And I think in the long term, what we're doing is mortgaging our future and selling short taxpayers. In fact, we really question as to how these private entities can run these roads better than our governments, than the public. In fact,
why don't we have governments running our supermarkets and our farms and our airlines? I mean, this is a business. It's normal in this country to run have business running a business and investors looking after it.
Except Dave? That when the government runs the tollway, it doesn't have to pay taxes. It doesn't have to pay shareholders. It can get generally a better or more favorable borrowing rate than private entities. And part of what we're challenging here in Indiana is we believe the terms of this lease deal are unconstitutional. We believe the state is giving special tax treatment to a private entity, which goes against the Constitution. And also we believe that there is public debt here in our state, and our state constitution says that the sale or net annual income from any public asset must be used to pay down the public debt. And again, I think that, you know, the public is really wondering, why can't we run the roads ourselves for profit and pay as we go on needed infrastructure?
I need to add a comment to Mr. Samuel there. Supermarkets are privately run, and if they don't have any business at midnight, they close down at midnight. If the Turnpike only has a few customers at night, it still has to keep 31 interchanges open. So some of the things that are for the public good are there around the clock, but in some areas, I have 8 interchanges that don't collect enough in tolls to pay the wages of the folks that are collecting the tolls there, but we still have to keep those interchanges open for people that have a need to use them at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning.
A statement I've heard for a long time. I mean, do you think that the privately owned toll roads in France and Australia and the Dolly's Greenway here in the Washington D.C. area, they close down at midnight or something?
Gary, just let me get back to Dave here, and we can get back to that argument.
They lose money at night, but sure, they know they've got
Sam,
to keep open 24 hours.
Peter, just hang on with that, okay? Because we don't have Dave for all that long, and I do want to ask him a couple of questions, okay?
Sure.
Dave, I'm wondering about, you talk about mortgaging the future, and I didn't know exactly what you referenced that. Are you concerned that a private company just doesn't have any business in the business of roads, or is it that you think that they would simply continue to raise tolls? Or, I mean, what is it exactly about the future that you're concerned about?
Well, our expert in the case testified that the state could run the toll road for the 75-year period and generate at least $12 billion in revenue from tolls versus the upfront one-time payment of $3.8 billion. So the state is essentially selling itself short over time. And again, for sort of a short-term upfront infusion of cash, we're turning over a public asset that could generate far more revenue over time. And if I'm a landlord, I'm not going to rent a property out for 75 years at $100 a month when I can do it for $700, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't think this is a good deal for taxpayers, the public. And again, we've gotten support from across the political spectrum here, and I think that's really the key issue nationally. As Ohio looks at this, as Pennsylvania and 20 some other states, does the general public really want to privatize the nation's freeway system, or do we see it as a public good? Do we really want to pay hundreds of dollars in tolls potentially a decade from now just to drive across a few states? We know that the cost of these tolls will show up in consumer goods that are shipped, and we know, obviously, from the truckers we've heard from around the country that they see this as both a direct threat to their economic well-being, but that it will also show up in their costs and therefore ours for these goods. And you know, I would just lastly add here that, you know, Eisenhower established the nation's freeway system as part of the national defense 50 years ago, and that anniversary falls on June 29th. Meanwhile, we have this toll road lease deal set to close June 30th. I have to wonder if Eisenhower isn't rolling in his grave if this deal goes through. And I think that the folks that remember back when this was established, our nation's freeway system, are very much opposed to the idea of Spain or China or whoever running the roads. I also would add that we would be challenging the constitutionality of this privatization if it was Halliburton that got the sweetheart deal to run the roads. And we've seen them get plenty of business lately.
Dave, very quickly before we take our break and say goodbye to you as well, very quickly, what is the status of the case?
Well, we are set for oral argument before the state Supreme Court tomorrow at 1:30, and this has been a very expedited legal process. We've gone from the initial filing to the Supreme Court in 60 days, which is unprecedented, and our attorneys have been working overtime, and we're continuing our fundraising effort to support the litigation, and as I mentioned before, not only have all political spectrums donated to our litigation effort, but truckers from around the country have contributed. And we're encouraging people to stay updated on our litigation efforts and what's happening here in Indiana by going to the website majormoves.org.
Okay. Dave Menser is campaign organizer for Citizens Action Coalition of Indiana, which has filed suit to block privatization of the Indiana Toll Road. Thanks for being here this morning, Dave. Appreciate
it.
It is time for another break. When we return, we will continue this discussion. The number to call, 216-578-0903 or toll-free 866-578-0903. You're listening to 90.3 at 9. We're talking about the proposal by Republican Governor hopeful Ken Blackwell to privatize the Ohio Turnpike as a way to generate income for the state. 216-578-0903 or toll-free 866-578-0903, the number to call. Ohio Turnpike Commissioner Director Gary Suradolnik is here. Gene Pierce is with us on the phone from Columbus. He's a campaign spokesman for Ken Blackwell. And Peter Samuel is on the line from Maryland. He's editor of Toll Roads News. And I wanted to go to the phones again because we have people waiting. Let's go to Chagrin Falls, where Gary is on the line. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I have a comment and a question for Mr. Blackwell's representative. My comment is that I'm not sure what kind of math is being used here. I would certainly characterize it as being creative. I do not see how the road can be maintained, there can be a return on the investment, pay a profit to the company, and not raise tolls. And I'm also concerned with the fact that if tolls aren't raised and this private company ends up having to walk away from the deal, that it'll be the taxpayers that end up footing the bill. My question is, it seems a little odd to me that all this is coming up less than 6 months before the elections. And I think it's being done to take the focus away from other issues like education, rebuilding our inner cities. And I'd like Mr. Blackwell's representative to comment on that.
Gene Pierce.
Gary, that's exactly the reason you have political campaigns, is to get into public debate over issues of public importance. As to the math part of it, I mean, it is a reality. Indiana leased their toll road for less than $4 billion, and it is a shorter toll road than Ohio's. We want to take that money and deal with the issues that you mentioned were so important: education, rebuilding our cities. That's what we've talked about using this money for, to create jobs in our urban core in Appalachia, as well as northern Ohio in the Turnpike corridor. And we think that this is exactly what we should be talking about. And what the public deserves to hear about is an honest and open debate, a strong debate about issues that are important.
Thanks for that call, Gary. I wonder, Peter Samuel, if you can address the issue of the track record of companies that take over roads, because one of the things that Gary just brought up was the issue of what happens if that company doesn't remain solvent or walks away or something along those lines.
Yes. Could I first just say, look, tolls are going to go up regardless of who's running it. I mean, we have inflation. And under public ownership, tolls tend to go up every 5 or 10 years, and they go up by huge amounts. You know, the Ohio Turnpike, I think, increased tolls by about 80%, as I remember, almost doubled them between, I think it was 1997 and 2000. And then under public ownership, they tend to stay flat for a long period, and then a crisis gradually builds up, and then they double them or increase them 50% or 60%. That's the track record. The track record of private companies, however, is that they adjust them more gradually each year in line with inflation. It's the normal thing. So on the matter of you wanted me really to comment on public companies and what happens if they don't keep to the terms of the contract.
Private companies, yes.
Adequate maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's normally an arbitration procedure there, and then if it's determined that they've broken the lease and they haven't adequately maintained the road, then it reverts to the state. And there's none of the upfront concession money due back or anything like that. So, and that has happened in one case. There was a private toll road in Texas that went broke called the Camino Columbia. And that one that one is now in the hands of the Texas DOT, and it got quite a nice road for about a quarter of the cost because the investors had miscalculated and put in a highway that the traffic wasn't there for. That was a new toll road near Laredo there, across to the Mexican border. And so, you know, TxDOT did quite well out of that, even though the investors lost their shirts.
Gary Sadolnik, I'm wondering... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the... There's one situation where you're asking the private sector to get involved in creating an asset that you don't already have. It's another situation to lease an asset that you already have. Back to the Ohio Turnpike, yes, there was a substantial increase in tolls in the mid-90s. It was staged in over a four-year period. But that was only the second toll increase in the history of the Ohio Turnpike, in the 50-year history. Depending upon the class of vehicles, our tolls are between two and three times the 1955 rate. If they had gone up based on the Consumer Price Index, they would be seven times the original rate today. They would be much higher. Even gas taxes have gone up five times the original rate. So our track record is pretty good, and I believe that tolls will go up dramatically. Indiana is going to more than double the truck toll rates, and they have a 70% increase in passenger car rates scheduled over the next several years. So tolls are, and then from then on, there's escalator clauses in the contract. So I and those funds will be taken from the Turnpike customer to benefit people all around the state. It will become a revenue source. I don't know that that's better for Northern Ohio.
We've got an email now from Skip. He says, the highway tolls were originally set up to pay for the highway, not to be an income source for the state. This is nothing more than a hidden tax. Keep the tolls at a level to pay for the maintenance on the highways and nothing more. Gene Pierce, what about this this comment that that this is essentially a hidden tax?
Well, I think it's you can call it what you want, but the Turnpike is there, and it does generate revenue, and it's revenue that could be used to benefit the citizens and the taxpayers of Ohio. And as I said before, our plan envisions a 30 to 50 mile corridor around the Turnpike that would receive special consideration for economic development, economic improvement. So, the question, I mean, the Turnpike is going to be there. It's going to be maintained properly. The tolls are going to be at an appropriate level, and we want to use this asset to address the most important issue in our state, which is economic development. The Plain Dealer editorialized this morning that it's a big idea on the table at a time when Ohio desperately needs creative solutions to its many problems. Now, they're not endorsing our idea, but they are saying it is a big idea. It's an intriguing economic development idea, and it's something that's important. We are dealing with the big issues of this state. Some of these issues are better left to lawyers and financiers and investment advisors to negotiate, but what we're trying to do is to deal with issues on a level that benefits the state of Ohio. It gives us a $4 to $6 billion trust fund that we can use the income off that trust fund for economic development programs and get our state out of the doldrums. That's what this plan's all about.
Okay, let's go quickly to Bay Village where Bill is on the line. Bill, we're going to go to a break in a couple minutes. Can you be brief?
Hi. Yeah. Thanks.
Hi.
Gubernatorial candidate Bill Peirce, who is a professor from Case Western Reserve University, has written on his website about this, that it can't possibly get the return that they're talking about, and that it's a terrible privatization technique. And I know Professor Peirce, as a libertarian, is a giant on privatization. If he's against it, there must be something really wrong with it.
Okay. Well, I suggest you look at the facts, and maybe Peter can deal with this. But it is a real thing. I mean, Indiana received $3.85 billion. Chicago has received its $1-plus billion. And Peter has just been talking about other examples around the country and around the world where the numbers are backing us up.
Okay. Peter, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and respond to that, but after we come back from a break. You're listening to 90.3 at 9. Music. And we're back wrapping up our discussion about the possible privatization of the Ohio Turnpike. Peter Samuel, the question again of the funds here, of getting really the value out of it that is being proposed.
Yes, well, you know, these amounts of money being offered are huge relative to the existing income. So the investors are basing their bids on the conviction that over time they can improve the productivity of these roads, the efficiency of these roads, and make profits sufficient to satisfy their shareholders. I don't know. My personal opinion was that they overpaid for both the Chicago Highway and the Indiana Toll Road. But, you know, it's their call, it's their money, and they appear to have great faith in that. These are strong assets. I mean, the Ohio Turnpike is a very important piece of infrastructure. It's got very established traffic patterns. So does the Indiana Toll Road and the Chicago Skyway. So there's a lot of certainty about the traffic there, as long as they manage it well, which I think they will. I mean, they have all the incentives to manage it well. The first thing they would do, I'm sure, is to install electronic toll collection, which would greatly improve the productivity of the toll road and would save time to users and therefore make it more attractive both to truckers and to car drivers. It's really amazing that the Ohio Turnpike, 15 years after electronic tolling was started to be implemented, still doesn't have it and doesn't even have any commitment to it.
I want Gary to respond to that, but before he does, Peter, you said that some folks have been, you think, in your opinion, overpaying. Is $5 billion going to be overpaying if somebody pays it for the Ohio Turnpike?
Well, you know, on the basis of what was paid for Indiana and the Skyway, one would think that they might bid about $7 billion given mm-hmm. the revenues there, so I think 5 or 6 is probably a conservative estimate of what they would probably get in competitive bids. Of course, the details depend upon some of the conditions. If you make one of the conditions a less aggressive increase in toll rates, then you wouldn't get the $7 billion. And so perhaps if you simply index the toll rates to inflation and don't have any other increases than that beforehand, as they have had in Chicago and Indiana, then probably $5 or $6 billion is what you would get.
Okay. Gary Suodon, the question of electronic.
Yeah, everybody thinks we're electronically challenged, but we're not. All toll roads are not alike. We are not a commuter road. The turnpike was designed to not go through major urban areas. Electronic tolling really came about because of large commuter volumes of traffic going in and out of a city, Philadelphia, Chicago, what have you. We did a study 2 years ago and determined that 14.7% of our customers would use it. We're doing a study right now because since that time, Illinois has converted to electronic tolling, and we believe Indiana will do it soon. That may push us over the edge, but at 14.7%, that's 1/7. I only have 7 exit lanes open at one interchange, 218 Niles Youngstown. So I could eliminate 2 people, one on the day shift, one on the afternoon shift, if I install electronic tolling. Otherwise, where I have 2 or 3 lanes open, that's not enough volume that would use electronic tolling to eliminate a collector. So I would spend $25 or $30 million to install the toll collection system and have no savings.
Okay. Listen, Gene, we have maybe 40 seconds or so. I wonder if you can wrap us up here, give us our last word on this topic.
What we're trying to do is to create a trust fund for Ohio that, as I've said all along, it's going to create jobs and become an active player in economic development for our state. It's a public asset. We want to use the value of that asset as aggressively as we possibly can so that we can create more jobs and keep the jobs that we have already. That's what this is all about. It'd be a public asset negotiated aggressively, and it'd be a positive step in the right direction for the people and the economy of the state of Ohio.
Gene Pierce is a campaign spokesman for Ken Blackwell. Peter Samuel has been on the phone with us from Maryland. He's editor of Toll Roads News, an online newsletter. And in the studio has been Ohio Turnpike Commission Director Gary Suodolnik. Thanks to all of you for being here this morning. And earlier we spoke with Dave Menzer, campaign organizer for Citizens Action Coalition of Indiana. If you'd like to get the last word in on this or any 90.3 at 9 show, give us a call. The number's 216-916-NEWS, 216-916-6397, or email news at WCPN.org. We spoke Friday about the future of wind power. The conversation powered up this listener who wanted to weigh in with some thoughts about the turbines Ohio already has.
I'm from Bowling Green, Ohio, but I live in Cleveland now, and we absolutely love our windmills. They're like the town's newest tourist attraction. They're right next to the town dump, so they're not decreasing its property value. And every time one of my friends comes up, one of the things we have to do is go show them the wind turbines. And they were originally put in two, but they were so efficient, they had to add two more just to sell to the village of North Baltimore. So they were much more efficient than they thought they would be.
Again, the number to weigh in with the last word, 216-916-NEWS. That's 216-916-6397, or email news at WCPN.org. Tomorrow in this hour, some Cleveland hospitals are looking overseas to address a serious nursing shortage here. Why can't we train homegrown nurses? And what impact does the hiring of foreign nurses have on healthcare throughout our region and overseas? We'll tackle those and other nursing questions on the next 90.3 at 9. Thanks as always for tuning in. I'm Cindy Deutschman-Ruiz.